Blog Talk Radio.
Jump!
Good morning, Fastlane Sports Nation. Thank you for tuning in today. We have a jam-packed show coming up this morning. We've got the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series Points Battle. We've got the Sprints doing the Texas Two-Step this weekend. Lucas Oil late model schedule changes. We've got NASCAR Phoenix recap plus the Atlanta preview. The Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR League update. The penalty box. So much more. Keep it tuned right here all morning on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go!
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tottich.
This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Ultra Light Railway Brake Sticks. I'm your host, Pete. Thank God it's the weekend! Thank you for tuning in and happy weekend. It is Saturday morning. That means a brand new episode of the Fastlane Sports Show. And I thank everybody for tuning in this morning. We have a lot to talk about today. We've got some shakeups in the World of Outlaws. We'll get to all of that in just a few minutes. Right now, while you are scrolling on Facebook this weekend, be sure to look up Margazzano Designs. Give them a like on Facebook. Whether it's party planning, anniversary gifts, birthday party favors, funny gift ideas, or whatever it might be, all of these are custom made and handcrafted by Bree. Everything from t-shirts, window decals, mugs, and so much more. Just go to their Facebook page. You can see everything that she's made over the past year or so. It's all custom made. Whatever it is that you want, she will make it for you. And then, pretty good pricing too. So, and like I said, anything from window decals, t-shirts, you know, stuff like that. So go give them a like on Facebook. Check them out today so that you can get some party favors planned for whenever you got that coming up. So that is Margazzano Designs on Facebook. Also, be sure to give Barbasol Shave a like and a follow on all of their social media. That would be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think that's, they don't have a Snapchat, I don't think they have a TikTok, but definitely on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, give them a like as well, because just like the last 4 years, everybody who calls in the show in 2021 will be joining us on the Barbasol Shave phone line. Don't forget to look for the all-new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus Razor. Features an Ultra Trimmer 7th blade for refining and styling. Barbasol has also refined the close shave technology that includes a clean rinse, ultra thin blades, and a pivoting head. And for that close, comfortable shave, be sure to grab yourself a can of Barbasol shaving cream as well. All right, everybody, if it's your first time listening to the show, that is our intro song to the dirtiest show on the internet, and I've got my co-host with me now this morning. I've got Christina. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, good morning. How is everyone?
Oh, we are just fantastic. There's no snow on the ground. There's no ice on the roads. There is sunshine in the air. I think winter is almost over. Of course, there's always that slight chance. You've lived up here long enough, you know. There's always that one more last snowstorm that has to rear its ugly head. But you know what? I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about today being the first day of spring. And getting on and getting ready for some small town short track race season.
Well, it is race day, so we have a lot to look forward to on the dirt side and asphalt side. And yes, it is the first day of spring. And no, I'm not coming to you from the beach. We had a bit of rain this morning, and it was down to like 58 degrees. And if anybody has been to Ocean City at this time of the year, it's the same as South Florida in the morning, at the beach. It's a little too cold, to be on the beach at the moment. So one day, though, I will do a show from the beach. It just won't be today. maybe if we get closer at a, April, May time, it'll be easier. It'll be warmer. And I won't have to deal with spring breakers. So, I mean...
Oh.
I can't wait for them to go home.
I bet.
They are very dirty. The poor beaches have been littered, and we'll save that for a little later on in the show. But no, it is dirt season officially. We've seen dirt racing all across the country. And, I mean, I watched Bristol yesterday.
Oh.
And that was crazy.
Yeah.
But no, it's been fun. If anything, you guys go back through. Kyle Busch had some, fun laps at Bristol yesterday, and he had a camera on there. Well, for the time, for a little bit anyway. It ended up getting destroyed, but the camera did, not the car, thankfully. But yeah, Dirt Nationals at Bristol is going on, and we have a full slate of World of Outlaws. They raced last night. The All-Stars are coming up. I mean, Attica is opening up today. It is the first day of racing at Attica. So that's, I mean, Pete, you can go to Attica. That's not too far, is it?
It's about an hour or so, but, yeah, it's close. Yeah, it's not as close as Wayne County, which we're waiting on to open up. But yeah, it's,
what are they waiting on?
They're still doing practices and stuff. I don't think they officially open till like second week of April, I think, is when it is.
Okay.
Just because of all the rain that we get through March and April, I think they try and get closer to the warmer weather as they can.
Well, I don't blame them. You don't want to have to push it back if you don't have to.
Right. Yeah, instead of postponing everything, you know, just starting a little bit later. But yeah, you mentioned it. The World of Outlaws. We've got a lot to talk about for the World of Outlaw, especially the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. They kicked off the Texas two-step last night down there at Cotton Bowl Speedway, Christina. And from what I'm reading and what I followed along with a little bit last night, it was a doozy of a race. We had guys wrecking and flipping. We had lead changes, and we had a second winner of 2021. So up until this point, this is the seventh race of the season, points paying race for the World of Outlaw guys. We've had six different winners up until last night. We finally got our first multi-winning driver of the year, and it also shook up the points quite a bit as well, that we will talk about and look at that as well. But let's talk about the racing last night at Cotton Bowl Speedway down there in Texas. Like I said, it was the kickoff of the Texas two-step this weekend, and hometown favorite from Ohio, Mr. Sheldon Houdenshield, is the first driver to get two wins for the year. He comes away on the top of the podium last night, beating out Aaron Rutzel and Brad Sweet, make up the rest of that podium. So there was quite a bit of drama on the track last night, Christina, at this race, between Aaron Rutzel was involved in a little bit of it too.
Well, ironically enough, Aaron Rutzel went home. I mean, you know, that's that's where he's from. He's from Texas, and honestly, I thought it was his race to win, which it was, because, you know, Rutzel is from Clute, Texas, and he was, you know, it's his first time, you know, in this full-time ride here, and he ended up setting the track record first off. So new track record set at 13.356 seconds, and he also drew the pole. He had a lot of things happen. He won everything but where it mattered the most. And unfortunately for him, that didn't happen, and he ended up losing this race to Sheldon Houdenshield. It is what it is. I mean, he tried his best. He's just, you know, first runner up. Now he knows how much it hurts not win one of these. And there was no shortage of carnage in this race. My Lord, was there craziness happening all over the track. Carson Macedo was upside down in a fence. He literally was stuck in a fence, folks. But there's no lie. I don't know if you saw it, Pete. There was pictures of them welding the fence back together yesterday. Thank God, no, he was okay. That happened, but he did make the feature. He ended up getting into the feature then. He was the hard charger of the race, even though they even had an incident during the feature. as well brought out of caution, got collected. And I mean, that speaks volumes for Jason Johnson Racing and that 41 team to literally thrash and do everything possible to get him back out there. It was crazy. Jacob Allen, real quick, started fourth, was looking real good for a little bit, and a tire went down. I don't know what it was. The tires seemed to be a problem last night in that race, but, I mean, no shortage of drama. Honestly, it was everywhere. We saw local Brock Zierfoss have an incident as well. Corey Eliason, Brent Marks. I mean, Texas is, you know, showing what it's good for.
Right. I believe we even had an instance of Aaron Rutzel getting into Brock Zierfoss. I think you mentioned that, you know, that was early in the race.
That was because he couldn't get around him as a lapped car. He was trying to lap traffic. So it's not only in NASCAR, folks, that quote unquote, the slower cars cause problems. It happens in dirt racing too. So, yeah, it was crazy. But we finally have I think we were going to have a repeat winner no matter who won last night because the top three guys have already won, you know, on this, you know, in the circuit and everything else this year. So I believe that all good things come to an end. We won't see any more, you know. I don't know. We may go 16 races in NASCAR without a repeat winner, but definitely not in the World of Outlaws.
No, definitely not. Not when you've got guys like Brad Sweet, Logan Schuchart, David Gravel, Carson Macedo, Aaron Rutzel, Shell. I mean, these are the top of the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car drivers right there. Right now, the only driver in the top five without a win is Mr. Donnie Schatz. I was picking him. He was my horse last night. I thought he was going to do it.
Yeah,
he
came out of nowhere, too. Donnie
Schatz? Hey, he made it to fifth. He got a top five last night. So he got close. He got close. He cut down that start time by half. So we'll see what happens tonight. So Sheldon Houdenshield gets the top of the podium there, beating out Aaron Rutzel and Brad Sweet. Ian Madsen coming in fourth. Donnie Schatz fifth, Gio Scalesi in sixth. We had Craig Kinsner seventh, James McFadden eighth, David Gravel ninth, and rounding out the top ten last night was Logan Schuchart. Mm-hmm. That Christina has shaken up the points in the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series a little bit. Going into last night, Logan Schuchart had a 2-point advantage over Brad Sweet. That has flipped now, and Brad Sweet has opened that lead up to 12 points. So we've got the reigning champion back in first place where he likes to be there in that Casey Kane Racing number 49 Napa car. So Brad Sweet leading the points once again over Logan Schuchart. We are going to see this how many more times, Christina, throughout the year? This is not over between these two, especially.
It's nowhere near over. It's not actually nowhere near over for the whole entire top five. This could go this is anyone's points championship to win still at this point. Yes, folks, I know it's only 6 races, whatever. I get that, but, I mean, if you can break out early into a big points gap, it's hard for people to come back from that. Now, these top five are really close. Sheldon, who sits in fifth with 2 wins, finally cracking that top five, is only 46 points out of the lead of Brad Sweet, which you need to see. We're going to have to see how this plays out. How many times are these guys like, look, Logan didn't have the greatest night last night. He didn't, but he still finished in the top 10, which matters points-wise. So if these guys are going to be one-upping one another, they're going to have to see if somebody has a motor failure or something, or, you know, get caught up in somebody else's, you know, drama. And like Aaron Russell could have all but gotten, that could have hurt him points-wise last night had he and Brock Searfoss really tangled it up even more. But mind you, he's the seventh. He's right, he's outside the top five looking in. So we'll see how it plays out. But I do want to say, last night, though, was the debut. I was in the return of James McFadden. We talked about it last week, Casey Kane filling in. Ironically enough, folks, I talked about it. I didn't even know he was coming back this week. So look at that. It all worked out perfectly. So we'll see how much it gels with him getting back in the nine car versus Casey being in the nine car. Granted, they set up the cars, you know, to each driver, and Casey Kane Racing has no shortage of race cars to, you know, basically put on the track. But, so, you know, Ricky Stenhouse Marshall Racing, two wins already, and they have a driver in the other series vamping up and ready to go All-Star Racing. So this could be the year for the NAS team. We'll see. Anything can happen. I like the colors. I mean, it is a title sponsor as well, so it's boding really well right now for Sheldon.
Yeah, you talk about James McFadden. I was going to mention him too. His first race back after, yeah, you know, being stuck and not being able to come over here and run that number nine car since the beginning of the season. He comes back. He shows up in Texas. He jumps in that nine car. He starts 15th and finishes with a top 10 in eighth place. So he is picking up right where he left off in that number nine car. So congrats to James McFadden for doing that. I mean, you know, to come over here and hop in that car and race with these guys that already have six races under their belt. Or more because of racing with the All-Stars and other things, for him to do that shows how strong that number nine car really is. And, you know, Casey Kane, he had that nine car sitting up in the top 10 in points up through this weekend. So that nine car is definitely strong. We will note that James McFadden is not eligible for a driver championship because he missed the first six races, but Casey Kane running that number nine car, that number nine car is still eligible for a driver, for a owner championship. So that was another reason. I think we talked about that last week. I think you mentioned it. That was another reason we saw Casey Kane driving that number nine car was to keep, because if you go to the World of Outlaw, you can actually look at team points right now, and the number nine car is showing ninth in the team points. So that was the reason that Casey Kane was running that nine car, was to keep that the points for that team going for this year. So but it's nice to have James back in that car. We'll see what else he can do. We'll see if he can you know, crack that top five and get a win coming up here in the next few races. But they are back at Cotton Bowl Speedway tonight for night two of the Texas Two-Step.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot more of the same faces and same names up front. So unless somebody can really thrash on this car and get it turned around, and if you missed the setup last night, tonight is a great night to rebound and, you know, kind of make a name for yourself here. Because you don't want to be behind the eight ball going into tonight. You know, you need to keep the momentum going. There's a lot more races coming up on the schedule, and it's only going to get harder as the year goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Let's look at the points. You mentioned it just a few minutes ago, but we've got Brad Sweet. He is back in the lead with one win. We've got Logan Schuchart in second place. Those two flip-flopped after last night. Logan is 12 points back with a win. Third place, we've got Donnie Schatz in that number 15 car. He is 24 points back. Still has not gotten a win yet this year, but it's early. David Gravel sitting in fourth in that number two car, 30 points back with a win. Sheldon in fifth, top five for Sheldon so far. 46 points back, two wins. Carson Macedo sixth, 58 points back in a win. Aaron Rutzel, the newbie to the World of Outlaws. He is in seventh place, top 10 right now in points with a win. Aaron Rutzel is. He is the multi-championship winning driver from the All-Star Series who has crossed over to run full-time with the World of Outlaws this year. He's got a win. He's 62 points back. Then we've got Corey Eliason, Craig Kinsner, and Gio Scalesi rounding out the top 10 there in the World of Outlaws. Those three have not gotten a win yet this year either. But yeah, so far, Christina, throughout the first seven races, we've got a pretty good field of drivers so far in the World of Outlaws. The top 18 on the standings have all entered the first seven races, and Brian Brown is the only driver to miss one of those and not start all seven. So Mason Daniel, he's down there. He's entered seven, started five. So about 20 drivers showing up consistently each weekend with the Outlaws. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good field of sprint car drivers. I know a lot of people, especially if you're used to NASCAR, you're used to a 40-car field. But when you go to these small-town short tracks, if you get 15 or 20 sprint cars to show up, that's a good night. And that's just the World of Outlaw regulars that show up, 15, 20 of them. You've got the local guys that still race, that race with these guys when they're at their home track. So you have a potential of 30, 35 cars showing up on a World of Outlaw weekend. That's a pretty good car count.
Yeah, it's a great car count. And, you know, you'll see some of these bigger races and events will pack 40, 50, 60 sprint cars. Now, mind you, not all of them are going to make the race. And that's why you see the car count sometimes the way they are. People got to pick and choose. Like we see in local racing all the time at Port Royal, Lincoln, and everywhere else, they all run on the same day. You got to pick and choose what's going to be more worth your money because it's your money going into that race car. So, I mean, this is where it's at, folks. Dirt's better than asphalt, and Bristol's really showing that. Just saying, I'm using Bristol as an example because it's an asphalt track. An asphalt track, they lay dirt down, and my God, it's some of the fastest racing they've ever seen, and craziest, too, so...
Yeah.
No, it's better.
Yeah, definitely. I was missing out for quite a few years, and Christina let me know it. Every year she let me know it. But we finally got to a race. In fact, she was there for my first dirt race ever at Wayne County Speedway.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool that worked out that way. You know, she'd been bugging me and telling me you're missing out. You need to get to the dirt tracks. And I finally got there and she was there with me. And, it was a pretty great race. That was, an all-star race too, that
yeah.
we were at Wayne County. So that was, that was a great night, good time.
And
I've been hooked ever since.
Won that race too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I've been hooked ever since. The World of Outlaw, NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, they are back tonight. Second night at Cotton Bowl Speedway. And then let me pull it up. I'm trying to think where they go after that, Christine. I got to pull it up real quick. US 36 Raceway, March 26th,
yes.
Next Friday. And then Lake Ozark Speedway on March 27th. So next weekend, they'll be up around the Missouri area racing for that weekend. And then they will they'll be off until the following weekend, first weekend in April. So if you're down around Texas, you got a chance to watch them tonight. And then they'll be at US 36 Raceway and Lake Ozark Speedway next weekend. So that is what we are looking at for the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. Now, Christina, let's shift our focus to the better of all the dirt racing, right? late models. Those are the best, right? These are the best drivers in the world, other than Florida drivers. I don't want to take nothing away from you guys.
Well, don't let me in with those Florida drivers. I did not get my driver's license in Florida. No. Oof. Man, listen to that. We don't have enough time to talk about Florida drivers on this show. But yes, late model racing. It is the best racing in the country.
They are. They are some of the hardest driving. I don't know what is more competitive, the drivers or their attitudes. It is the very competitive, very competitive series, this late model series is. And we've got two national touring late model series that we talk about on this show each weekend. And the first one we're going to talk about is the Lucas Oil late model dirt series. And Big Sexy is still leading those points because they're coming back this weekend, but we have a schedule change. So the last night that was supposed to be at Atomic Speedway, the Buckeye Spring 50, that has been postponed. I think they've postponed it to, it's looking like Sunday. We're going to run that Sunday. So it was supposed to be last night. We're going to run it tomorrow. They are still scheduled, though, to run at Brownstown Speedway tonight. So if you're in the Indiana area and you were going to go watch the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series run at Brownstown Speedway, you're still in luck. The Indiana Icebreaker is still scheduled for tonight. 15,000 to win, Christina. This is another thing, too. We look at the dirt racing, and, you know, we go through some of the all-star races. We go through some of the World of Outlaw sprint car races, and we see 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 to win, sometimes an 8,000 or 10,000 to win. But consistently, these late model races, I mean, we're talking winning purses of 15, 12. Sometimes 20, there's a 30,000 to win race. I mean, we're talking some big money in the World of Outlaw series as well.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, generally speaking, late model racing has paid more than sprint car racing. I don't ask me why. I honestly don't know. I have tried to figure that out a couple times. But I have been able to. But if you want to get real technical, Lucas Oil Late Models, that series pays more than any series outright. It's definitely well documented and known that that series will pay you more. And that's why they race very long time, literally all year practically. And these guys are racing, you know, for a lot of money, and that's where your tempers come from. That's where your, you know, fender rubbing comes from. You name it, it's happening in this series.
Yes, it is definitely. And I've said it before on this show. I've compared these late model drivers to the NASCAR truck drivers that we watch because they are not afraid to put that bumper or that fender, lean on that guy next to him to try and get a win. I mean, these guys are crazy. That's all it is. They're just crazy. they really are. Brandon Overton is leading the points, though, in the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. Mr. Big Sexy, he's got a pretty big points lead over Hudson O'Neill, Christina. So it's looking like this is, I know it's still early. It really is. But that number 76 car is hooked up, and he's looking like this is his points championship to win this year for Mr. Brandon Overton.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, he's looking extremely strong right now and doing well. I mean, there's a lot of action to come. See how tonight goes. And everything for them, you know, they've had a pretty good season so far. But don't count out Hudson O'Neill. Don't cut out you know, Devin Moran. Timmy McCready, he's a great driver. And, you know, so is some of these other guys that are going to be running full-time. Josh Richards, we know who he drives for. You know, so there's a lot yet to be had in this. And, I mean, I can't wait to see more of what comes from this series and the late models. There's a lot going on, folks. This is why it's one of the best series of racing in the world. They don't stop. They beat. They bang. Hell, they flip. You know, if anybody wants to see late model flip, they flip too, just like sprint cars. So, I mean, there's a lot a lot of crazy drama with them. We've seen fists fly, all-out brawls. Yep, late model division has it all.
Yes, they do. And for some people listening to the show today and scratching their head and saying, you know, Jimmy Owens, he was the man last year for the Lucas Oil.
Oh, he's had a rough start.
Yeah, 11 wins last year out of 47 features. You know, he was tearing it up. And you know, Brandon Overton barely raced. He only had 25 features, 3 wins last year with the Lucas Oil. But he's leading the points now. You know, somebody might ask, you know, what's up with that?
It's just Jimmy Owens has had a rough year. And, you know, for anyone that knows me personally and have been to the racetrack with me, there's certain colors at this. Trust me, folks, when I say this. I have a fear. And Jimmy Owens has always had these color schemes. It's like the lime green and the black together. That color scheme scares me. There is a driver from back home, Timmy Wilson, who had that paint scheme for a little bit. And, oh, it was the worst look he's ever had in a late model. He's a champion. He's a past champion. It was just terrible. He ended up straight, literally vertical in the air. One race. It was craziest thing I've seen. Man, that was the worst year. We told him, please change the paint scheme because it's just, that was bad luck for him. And then he went back to some of the older paint scheme he had, and it was a lot better for him. So it may just be, you know, he's got to get the rust off, the dust off his car. I don't know. Maybe it's time for a paint scheme change. I don't know. That could do wonders for you. And it happens, folks. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we talk about the guy who's sitting in second place right now in points this year as well, Hudson O'Neill. Last year, he only ran, you know, 36 features, only had one win, finished 13th in the points. But we see him up in second place this year behind Brandon Overton. So it's kind of almost, it's looking like a changing of the guard in the Lucas Oil late model dirt series. It is still early. We understand that there's still a lot of racing. I mean, these guys are going to run almost 50 races this year just for the Lucas Oil points. This isn't including all of the other World of Outlaw or any other late model races that they plan on running, Christina. So this is going to be a long season for these guys.
Exactly. It's going to be a very long year. A very great year for some of these guys. Some of these guys are already thinking, my goodness, what did I get myself into? There's a lot to be had. And remember this, you know, Bristol coming up is not just a World of Outlaw late models, you know, event. This is a late model event that is going across the country. Doesn't matter what division you ran in. That's the, you know, it's an invite only, but yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's crazy. There's a lot of cool things going on this year for late models, and I can't wait to see what's going to, how this year is going to shape up. This is a big year for late model racing. It's a big year to put late model racing to the forefront. I mean, yeah, everybody wants to talk about sprint cars. I mean, it's time to talk about these late models. They're bringing in the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. So the Lucas Oil late model series, they will be in Indiana tonight. And then last night's race for Atomic Speedway will be tomorrow afternoon. Instead, they moved it because of some of the rain. We got some pretty good rain Thursday. Actually, it rained all day into the night and Friday morning. So that is why that race was postponed. A lot of the rain that we had, and then some cooler temperatures yesterday. So that race from last night moved to tomorrow. So if you're planning on going, you still can go tomorrow, as long as you're off work, I guess. But then they will be looking here at the Lucas Oil events for 2021. After this weekend, it is looking like they will be heading towards Hagerstown Speedway in Maryland. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that track before. That track is usually on the PA Speed Weeks, I believe. There, Hagerstown Speedway.
Is.
Yeah,
a
late
model
track on a sprint car Speed Weeks. Yeah, we hear about that every year from somebody. So,
yep.
But Lucas Oil.
And well, until it changes.
They will be heading to Hagerstown. That is April 17th. So after this weekend, the Lucas Oil late model is taking just a little bit of a break, couple-week break. They'll be heading to Hagerstown, and then they'll be heading to another track that we talk about a lot on this show. They'll be heading to Port Royal Speedway for the River Valley 40. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and then they're going to Bristol.
Yes, then it is Bristol, baby. Yes, yes, they will. Let's shift over from Lucas Oil to World of Outlaws, back to the World of Outlaws, and we'll talk about the Morton Buildings late model series there. And Mr. Kyle Strickler, the rookie, sitting on top of the points, Christina, with two wins. Boy, I'll tell you what, it looks like if you're a betting person, you might want to stick with the Strick, because he's looking pretty strong this year.
No offense to him, but no.
Come on.
Yes. I love Kyle Strickler. He's done great things this year with this series, and he has won at Bristol recently now too, in a different car. It was a mod light. But, I mean, picked up a win there too. So, but no. I mean, it's too early to put all my eggs in the Kyle Strickler basket. It's too early. We haven't seen the best of Brandon Shepherd yet. He's even admitted we haven't seen the best of Brandon Shepherd yet. He knows that he's not doing the best. That car is not performing the best. So, mind you, they are off until, I believe, another week that they're off. Yes. So 26th, they'll be back at Cherokee Speedway. And I mean, that's the first time for them going there. Two-nighter event there at Cherokee. It's going to be fun to go there, but it's a doubleheader set for $35,000 to win. Is that what I just saw? Oh, well, let me reread this. I just got coffee, folks, so bear with me. I might have read that wrong, but I'm pretty sure I just said that. Oh, yes. Okay, so it is the first annual Rock Gaunt Memorial with $45,000 in winnings and three trophies waiting for a home. There you have it, folks.
Wow.
That's a pretty high-paying night. It's a great payout. It is actually the biggest payout of the year.
Wow.
For this series. So we'll see what's going to happen. It's going to be intriguing to see how this goes down. We'll see. Does Brandon Shepherd show up? I assume he might show up. Is Chris Madden going to show up? I mean, Chris Madden's doing great things, too. We'll see how this all unfolds. And, you know, Kyle Strickler is the man on top of the scoreboard right now.
Yes, he is. But there is a lot of late model racing coming up yet this year. We have not, like you said, we have not even.
This is the tip of the iceberg, folks.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of late model racing to come. And then we still have, you mentioned they are at Cherokee Speedway next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah, next weekend down there in South Carolina. And then after that two-night event, April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, the following week, starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they will be heading to Farmer City Raceway in Illinois for the Illini 100. So if you are in that area, you have a chance of three nights of World of Outlaw Morton Building Late Model Series racing. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that weekend you will not only see World of Outlaw late model drivers, but you will see Brandon Overton. You will see yeah. Hudson O'Neill. You will see Devin Moran, Tim McCready, Brandon Shepherd, Brandon Shepherd, you're going to see him anyway, but, all of these guys that run with the Lucas Oil, I'm sure that they will be there for the Illini 100 for that weekend, because that's a big, big weekend, a big race weekend as well for late models, because then after that, the following weekend, the World of Outlaws will be doing the Bristol Bash April 8th, 9th, and 10th down there at the asphalt track of Bristol Motor Speedway that has gotten dirty. Bristol is almost as dirty as this show, but not quite. We're still the dirtiest show on the internet. But Bristol is the dirtiest track in NASCAR right now. We'll say that. We'll give them that.
Yeah, it's been badass fast. I mean, whew, they've been racing, folks, all week at Bristol. There's a couple Twitter accounts you should follow if you really want to follow along with what's going on at Bristol. Prior to the Truck Series, prior to NASCAR, prior to right now, they got some Dirt National stuff going on with Modifieds, Mod Life. There's Supermodel Late Model races going on there, too. We saw a big Supermodel Late race last night. Mm-hmm. So it was at the Carl Customs Bristol Dirt Nationals. Saw a big win there. So, he's the guy that won last night is actually favored to win tonight. So tonight is going to be a big 40-lap, $50,000 to win super late model race at Dirt, at the first Dirt Nationals. Yes, folks, there's more than one Dirt Nationals at Bristol. So that's how crazy this is. And the lineup for, speaking of the World of Outlaw, Morton Building Late Model Series and the drivers that got the invite, I saw a list of drivers. Ooh, Lord. I can't wait. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a big pile up. Big pile up in that dirt wall, because they had to make a dirt wall, folks, to make sure that people did not end up hitting pit road with the pit road that would be for use for a regular NASCAR race, the wall there. So it's, you guys need to follow along. Go to Twitter, Instagram. It doesn't matter where it is. Look, go to the Bristol's website. You can see some of the, the recap and the action. It's crazy.
Yeah, we even had earlier this week down at Bristol, we've talked to him before, not on the show. We haven't interviewed him yet, but we went to Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway to see him race last year, Mr. Steven Sheltman. He runs full-time at Pittsburgh Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. He actually took his car down to Bristol this week and was racing with some of those guys down there. And out of over 100 cars, he got to one of the, he was down to top 30 or 40, I believe. And then mm-hmm. one of the heat races, he got caught up in somebody else's mess and kind of tagged the wall with the nose. And I think he bent the radiator a little bit, had a little bit of repairs he had to do, and really couldn't get back to the top to where he wanted to be. But, he was interviewed on Bristol's Facebook page and everything. So that was pretty cool to see somebody that we know down at Bristol this week racing on the dirt. He said it was a dream come true for him to race on Bristol in dirt. So that was pretty neat to see Steven down there. So congrats to him. It wasn't the best, he didn't win, but for him to be down there amongst all them and
just
for him to
there.
Yeah, and to show up with there was hundreds of cars down there, for him to make it to where mm-hmm. he did out of all of that was really awesome to see as well. So yeah, Christina, a lot of great racing, dirt racing going on right now at Bristol. They should just leave it covered in dirt. Maybe.
And it's
crazy.
It's great. I can't wait to see what NASCAR, what these idiots pull on the shit. He said that's the biggest win of his career, and he's won some pretty big races, folks. But the craziest part about it is he held off Kyle Larson for that win, and three-time Lucas Oil Series National Champion Jonathan Davenport as well. Seb Bloomquist was in this race. Chris Madden was in this race. You've heard of all these folks, the big late model guys. Well, minus Kyle Larson, even though he has won in a late model, he's not naturally a late model driver. But we saw Kyle Busch in this race. Kyle Busch actually won the B main, by the way. And to make that feature, Chase Elliott was in that race last night. Saying a lot of craziness going on. It's crazy. Yeah, it was great to see. It was a great race. It's his 75th career dirt late model win. So 76 is what's up next. We're going to have to see if he can win that one tonight. I don't know. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of modified racing. There's so much craziness going on. So qualifying starts at 2:30 today.
We will not
waste the time, folks.
No, they are not. before we move on from dirt racing, we'll take a look at the World of Outlaw Morton Building late model point standings as it is right now. We've got Kyle Strickler, the rookie, on top of the points with two wins. Brandon Shepherd in second. Ricky Weiss, Tyler Bruning, Kyle Bronson rounding out the top five. Then you've got Dennis Erb Jr., Darrell Lanigan, Chris Madden, Scott Bloomquist, and another rookie, Ross Bales, there in 10th. So that is your top 10 in the World of Outlaws Morton Buildings Late Models Series. So they will be back in action next weekend. So be sure to catch up with that. Christina, we're going to take just a quick 60-second break. When we come back, we still have a few more things to wrap up for with Talking Dirty. And then we will move on to the NASCAR asphalt side of racing. We'll talk about the Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR League standings. We'll update that. We'll talk about where NASCAR is at this weekend. We'll find out what's going on around that sport. And we'll talk about some other things coming up with the show as well. So, Christina, everybody else listening, just keep it tuned right here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man.
All right, welcome back. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. And you heard the commercial there. The Barbasol Shave phone lines, they are open the entire show. If you want to call in and talk about some dirt racing, the number is 657-383-1903. Always is, always will be the number. So go ahead and program that into your cell phone so you have it. Christina, we've got Attica Raceway. They have tweeted out that they are racing tonight. The gates will be open at 12:30 in just a couple hours. Racing is at 4. Adults are $18, seniors $15, kids ages 11 to 15 are $10. Kids ages 10 and under are free. If you want a pit pass, it's $30. They have the 410 sprints, the UMP late models, and the 305 sprints all racing tonight. So if you are anywhere close to Attica Raceway, head on out there tonight for some great racing at Attica. Also, speaking of some other dirt tracks that we've had on the show before, I tweeted out earlier this week and put on Facebook that we would be having a special guest coming up soon. And Christina, are we ready to announce who that's going to be? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get a drum roll here. Oh, I know I got one. Here it is. All right. Coming up on April 3rd at precisely 9 o'clock in the morning to kick off the show that day, we will have Big E from Lernerville joining us to talk about the 2021 racing season up there at Lernerville, about when it's going to get started, what we can look forward to, how 2020 was for them. It was a crazy year for everyone. Last year was our first year there. Beautiful, beautiful racetrack. If you've never been to Lernerville, you have got to put that on your list of tracks to go to. Big, nice, just an awesome racetrack. They got a lot of stuff there, and it's a big racetrack too. Sits kind of up on a hill. When you sit in the stands and you're looking out over the backstretch, I mean, it's just beautiful country up there as well. So that part of PA is really nice. You got to get there, check it out. But Big E from Lernerville, he will be on the show April 3rd to kick off that show in the morning. And then we'll transition right from him into Talking Dirty with Christina, and we'll go from there. But be sure to circle your calendar. 2 Saturdays from now, on April 3rd, we will be talking to Lernerville Speedway and seeing what is on the agenda for them this year. Also, Christina, don't forget, I hope you're studying up. Because we are giving the fans a chance to win some great prizes, and at the end of the year, a chance to compete against you in the ultimate trivia challenge and test their dirt track knowledge on select shows from now throughout the end of the year. We will tweet you, we will Facebook, we will let you know what show to call in during Talking Dirty with us and Christina, and you will have a chance to battle her in trivia. And if you can beat Christina in trivia of dirt racing, you will win a small Barbasol prize, and your name will be entered into the final trivia contest of the year to go against her and win a big, big prize. So I know Christina doesn't need to do much studying because she is a dictionary of dirt racing, but it is challenging me to brush up on my dirt racing knowledge, because I've got to make the questions and double check, triple check, make sure I have the right answer for all of this. So it's a tough task for me too. I'm learning a lot so far, a lot more than I knew, which isn't much to begin with. But this is going to be fun. We're giving the listeners a chance to compete against Christina. And anytime the listeners have a chance to win something on this show, I get excited, and I wish I could win. So maybe I'll go against you one time.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you make the questions, though, so that wouldn't work. We'd have to have somebody play mediator.
Maybe I'll ask you 5 questions, and then you ask me 5 questions, and we'll see which one. We'll see if we can stump the other one. Tune in each weekend to find out when it's going to be, and then keep an eye on our social media. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Instagram, we only use that when we go to racetracks throughout the summers and stuff, but definitely Facebook and Twitter for that. So keep your eyes peeled on our social media to know when the show is going to be, and then tune in to that show at the very beginning, because you don't know if it's going to be at the beginning of Talking Dirty, if it's going to be at the end of Talking Dirty, what part of the show it's going to be in. But when you do tune in and you hear this, when you hear that song, that's when you want to call in, and we will take your phone call. The first person to call in will be the one competing against Christina. So it is first come, first serve. But right now, I have nothing else for dirt racing. Christina, do you have anything for the group?
No, that's everything that's really going on right now. We just got to, you know, keep in touch, see what happens. Like I said, there's a whole lot of Bristol yet coming up, and be ready, folks. It's going to be a fun weekend. There's lots of racing locally, too. If you can, go to Port Royal Speedway, go to Lincoln Speedway, wherever you know, there's a lot of racing up home as well. I know Matt went to Port Royal last weekend because he was there with AJ.
Yeah. Yes, we'll have to. If he calls in, we'll have to ask him how that went. But so that does it for Talking Dirty. We will we'll keep an eye on everything dirt racing from now until next weekend. And then when we come back on for Talking Dirty next week, you might have a chance to compete and go against Christina. But we will also definitely update everything else. So let's, Christina, let's shift gears and talk asphalt racing.
Backstretch Blazer, a real hell raiser, and a racetrack Romeo. Mama, lock your daughters up, that foul bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's a horse slick on the inside and a rick along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
All right, we had some action-packed racing last weekend in NASCAR. They were at Phoenix Raceway, and we saw another first-time 2021 winner out there as well. Christina, obviously I'm working during the racing, and I don't have cable, so I don't watch the races anymore. But listening to it on my NASCAR mobile app, listening to the PRN, I believe it was, the PRN broadcast of that one, because they do the West Coast, it sounded to me like it was a decent race. For the most part, some action, some good racing going on there at Phoenix. Was it a good race? Were you able to tune in and watch any of the racing? How was it at Phoenix? It's a mile track. They've changed the configuration of the track than what we've known it for many, many years. They did that a few years ago, but did it make the racing any better? How was it last Sunday?
It wasn't bad. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest race I've seen at Phoenix, but it also wasn't the worst. I mean, I don't know. I think, like, you get these long flag, green flag runs, and it's just like, I don't know, people just, meh, they're okay with running where they are. So that's part of the problem. I don't know. I think that, it, I don't know. I wasn't a real big fan of it, if I'm being honest with you. I think I walked away from it and went and did something else last weekend for a little while. But
Yeah,
we'll see. This is a different beast today.
You mean the stage racing hasn't made it any more exciting? I thought that was, you know, the stages, you know, breaking up the race with the stages are going to keep guys, you know, trying to stay up front and racing for a top 10 finish to get those playoff points and whatnot and extra points for the race. You know, I thought,
yeah,
I thought that was going to make it more exciting. Well, it's Phoenix anyway. So, you know, we'll move on from,
I don't get how that's a championship caliber racetrack, but okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just my opinion.
See, now you're just being super critical, Christina, and you're going to get a fined by NASCAR. No, I'm just kidding. Truex got to see, and that's probably another reason why you didn't enjoy the race, because Truex won. So, I mean, I understand, you know, anytime Truex gets to victory lane, it's just a crap race anyway. So... but Martin Truex Jr. gets his first unfortunate win of the year. Win of the year at Phoenix. so with Truex, do I have to say it again? With Truex getting the win at Phoenix, this gives Joe Gibbs Racing two wins on the year now, joining the HMS, which for those who don't know, that's Hendrick Motorsport, giving them two wins. So we've got two teams with two wins on the year so far, and we've raced at five different racetracks. So the other team that has a win would be Front Row Motorsports, Michael McDowell, the first race of the year. So, Hendrick, two wins, Truex, or Joe Gibbs Racing, two wins. Larson and Byron are the two wins for Hendrick. And then, of course, Christopher Bell and that other one got the win for Joe Gibbs. So,
you know, the craziest thing is about Hendrick Motorsports, I really didn't expect those two drivers to be the two to win first. I'm not, you know, and that's no knock to Kyle Larson or anything, but it's just, I expected it to be more of Chase Elliott winning first
right
season, and, you know, seeing that 48 back in victory lane, considering, well, it hasn't seen it in quite some time, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. Both those teams have been, I don't know, it's a little bit of a struggle for both those two in the Hendrick camp. On and off struggle throughout the races and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. You know who we haven't seen in victory lane? Stewart Haas Racing. What the hell's going on there?
Ooh, we are going to talk about SHR in just a minute. Yeah, what is going on there? Because we are going to talk about the standings and something is going on there at SHR. Weird. But you talk about Hendrick Motorsport. I'm trying to think, too. Before Junior signed with Hendrick, when he left DEI, which is a whole nother show, we'll talk about that someday. But when Junior left DEI and went to Hendrick, when he drove the 88 car, was it... Was anybody else driving the 88 before Junior took it over at Hendrick after Dale Jarrett retired? Or was there a brief pause? Was nobody in an 88 car? I'm just trying to think, because this is the first year in how many years we haven't seen the 88 car on the track, because Alex Bowman switched to the 48. Kyle Larson went to the 5, Chase Elliott to the 9, William Byron in the 24. So there's no Hendrick Motorsport 88 car on the track. Obviously, Dale Jarrett drove it for many years before Junior did.
No
but
one.
Was there a, there was nobody
no
between? Okay,
no.
Between the Dales?
No. No,
okay.
Nobody between the Dales. Before right. the Dales was Darrell Waltrip.
Right.
So nobody between the Dales.
Okay. I was just curious how long it's been since we haven't seen the 88 on the track, you know. Just, I was just thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's look at the standings. And we'll start here with the point standings, the regular point standings. We'll look at that and see how the top 16 drivers are looking. If the playoffs, as of right now, let's say the playoffs were to start this weekend, Christina, we have Joe Gibbs Racing. All four of their drivers are in the top 16 right now. Hendrick mm-hmm. Motorsports has three of their four in the top 16 right now. Alex Bowman is only a few points outside of the top 16 in 17th right now. So even Bowman is right on the cusp of being in the top 16. Penske has all three of their teams in the top 16 right now. And then let's take a listen to this. JTG Daughtry has both of their drivers in the top 16 right now in playoff
mm-hmm.
spots with Ryan Preece and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So of the top 16, you know, we talk about Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrick Motorsports, Penske. What we don't talk about is Richard Childress, Chip Ganassi, Stuart Haas, but we're talking about JTG. So it's awesome to see. I'm not putting them down. I'm trying to say this is awesome to see Front Row Motorsports, JTG, with drivers in the top 16 looking for playoffs.
And it's crazy because Ryan Preece has had a phenomenal year thus far. It has not been a bad year for him with, you know, JTG. And neither has it for Ricky Stenhouse, is really putting, you know, putting himself back on the map, so to speak, you know, with racing. And, you know, Richard Childress, we can talk about that real briefly. Austin Dillon is still in that projected playoffs to, if they were to start this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the big old, you know, workhorse for Chip Ganassi is in there too, and that'd be Kurt Busch, because, you know, you put somebody else in that 42 car and it's a freaking, I don't know, a dynamite for a wreck or something. I have no idea what's going on there. But and then you've got the one lone horse from Stuart Haas, which is Kevin Harvick, mind you, not having a great year thus far, still would be in the playoffs if they started today. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, yeah, okay, Cole Custer, young, whatever. Chase Briscoe, rookie. I expected more from that car. I'm not going to lie. Everybody has expected more out of that one. Eric Almirola has had a tough break. Mind you, he's been in a few accidents that were not his fault. So it's not been the stellar year for him. But even Kevin Harvick is not good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They put Clint in the booth, who's amazing, and the team fell apart. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Chase Briscoe and Eric Almirola, teammates there at SHR, 25th and 26th in the points right now. And like you mentioned, Eric Almirola's got two DNFs. Cole Custer in 20th. It's not looking very good in the points right now for SHR. Something's got to change. They, you know, we're looking at these teams, and SHR has gone from a team with a bunch of veteran talent to almost a team of rookies with Kevin Harvick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leading the pack for that team. So
pretty much
they're going to have to figure something out for 2021 though.
Yeah, they're going to have to very fast, or they're going to be those boards that are on the outside looking in at all these other Fords, you know, performing and doing well. And that's not just Penske Racing. That's Front Row Motorsports. That's, you know, all of Front Row Motorsports, actually, you know, doing well. And you're going to see, and Roush isn't doing terrible. Chris Buescher is sitting 18th in points. He's had some great, you know, spurts of lightning. And, you know, Ryan Newman's Ryan Newman. He's always a factor. It doesn't matter where he is on the track, okay? He's always a factor, folks. I mean, so I don't know. There's the tides are changing. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy to see, but it's like they got to find that rabbit's foot or something that they had last year and put them back in the car. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, you talk about – you mentioned Roush Yates Racing. That there's another team that has kind of, you know, drifted away from the main pack, the big teams that we talk about every single week. You know, for a while we were talking about Roush.
That's because our two best drivers retired.
Well, yeah. I mean, at one time Roush was Matt Kenseth, Greg Biffle, Carl Edwards, you know, Kurt Busch ran for him, won a championship for Roush. You know, they were the top four team for a long time. You know, it was always, Hendrick, Roush, you know, that's who we were talking about. And it's kind of shifted a little bit. They've gone down to two cars. They're running mid pack. So, you know, it's just one of those.
Wait. Sorry. I just looked up past Roush Fenway Racing drivers. Where's Kyle Busch?
Kyle Busch.
Driver for Roush Fenway? Is that even did that happen?
Jeremy
can answer that question.
Did he race in the Busch series?
I feel like he is almost. I know. I'm confused. Interesting.
We'll have to
find out. But I mean, come on, the two best drivers that they ever. Well, there's three. Roush Fenway had three of the best drivers ever, you know, run for them. And look, Jamie McMurray used to run for Roush. And now look at him. He's back.
Yeah.
For a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. There's some weird things going on in NASCAR. It's just weird.
One other thing to note, too, Christina, we look at the points, the rundown right now. You've got Hamlin leading the points with Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Kurt Busch, talked about him. That's your top 10. Then you've got Michael McDowell, Austin Dillon, Ryan Blaney, Ryan Preece, Kyle Busch, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. That's the rest of your top 16. When did he race for Roush?
At the age of 16.
Oh.
In the Craftsman Truck Series.
Oh, okay. In the truck.
The 99 Ford. Yes, he was a replacement, actually, for a guy that was driving that truck who was released midway through the 2001 season. He made his debut at Indianapolis Raceway Park, where he finished ninth in that race. And that was his first race in the series. Huh.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Hmm.
That could have been a trivia question.
Did not know that. Yeah, if we were doing NASCAR.
Right? Looking at the points, Christina, here's something interesting, too. We've got Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano. They're second and third in the points. And then Ryan Blaney is 13th. All three of those drivers have a DNF so far this year. And two of them are in the top three in points. So, you know, crazy stuff going on this year. The other driver in the top 16 with the DNF is Kyle Busch. So Kyle Busch is having a rough go so far.
He's having a weird
this year.
Year.
Yeah, he's had a rough year and a half. ever since the whole COVID stuff last year shut down practice and qualifying. You know, we're seeing some teams and drivers struggle not being able to show up and get all of that practice and qualifying in and really work on their car for the weekend, just coming right off the trailer and getting into the race. We're seeing some teams struggle, and it's going to, you know, they're going to have to figure this out. But looking at the playoff rankings, it's a little different than the regular season points rankings. We've got Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Christopher Bell is the top right now in the playoff rankings. Of course, Truex, Larson, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Michael McDowell, all with wins and a guaranteed playoff spot for now. We say for now because obviously, Christina, if we have, let's say we have 18 drivers or even 17 drivers get a win this year, only the top 16 can make the playoffs. So you still want to stay in that top 16 in points, you know, talking to Michael McDowell here, you got to keep doing what you're doing and stay in that top 16, because if we happen to have 17 drivers get a win this year and Michael McDowell is the lowest in points, even though he's got that win, he's not going to be in the playoffs. So definitely want to keep fighting, keep trying to get, he's got 3 top tens this year, Christina.
He's
so,
doing wonderful. He's actually doing better than drivers that, you know, I don't know. He's doing better than drivers that should be up front. I mean, you know, he's doing great. He just needs to keep doing it, keep moving, keeping his head down, just keeping it in the game. He's got a great crew chief, okay? His crew chief has won, so he's going in the correct, you know, correct way. He's doing good.
Right.
So as long as he keeps up with it, we'll have to visit this about mid-season and talk about Michael McDowell again and see what's happening there.
Yeah, I mean, wins are obviously more important, but when we look at top 10s, you know, we look at the drivers this year with top 10s, Hamlin, Kyle Larson, and Kevin Harvick all have 4 top 10s. And then you've got Michael McDowell with 3. He's in the same company as William Byron, Christopher Bell, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr. You know, they all have 3 top 10s. Michael McDowell's got more top 10s, like you just said, more top 10s than Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Alex Bowman, Kurt Busch. You know, these are Austin Dillon. These are drivers we talk about every year competing for championships. And right now, Michael McDowell's got a few more top 10s than some of these other drivers. And he's just showing that consistency and hard work is paying off for anybody. So keep going, Michael McDowell, and keep showing why that win at Daytona wasn't a fluke. You know, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And he's led 10 laps. He's got 10 laps led on the year so far, too. So
exactly. It's not just he's not a fluke. He can drive, and they finally putting in some more money into that car and have more sponsorship in that car. So that's what's great about it. I mean, it is that, you know, he's not a fluke. Get it. I would love to see an underdog take some of these big cats down. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him get a few stage wins as well, too, just to kind of solidify, you know, him being in the top 16, you know, to kind of show that, you know, him running mid-pack during the race isn't going to do it, but that he's running, you know, ahead of some of these drivers and getting some stage wins. I think that would help, just kind of help, you know, solidify him being in the playoffs. You know, because we've seen, you know, we look at stage wins. I know that's not everything, but Denny Hamlin is at the top of that list with 3 stage wins. That's just helping him for the playoffs. You know, we've seen a few drivers in the past win the championship because of all of the stage wins they had that just kept pushing them into the playoffs further and further and deeper into the playoffs, getting to the championship race and being able to kind of just maintain and win the championship. So it'd be nice to see Michael McDowell get up there and get a couple stage wins as well. So, but yeah, that's now this weekend we're at Atlanta this weekend for the all three series. In fact, at Atlanta this weekend.
Yes, we are. And two of the three series will run today back to back. So it's going to be interesting to see how the track changes for these guys today, especially, and see what can happen. And there's a lot to be had. You know, Atlanta has done a lot of cool things. If we recall, Atlanta's when, you know, Kevin Harvick got that very historic win. It was a very emotional day at the racetrack, too, when he won that race and, you know, really showed what it was about when, man, I remember that race, you know, the 2001 Atlanta win. It's crazy. A lot of things changed and happened and everything like that, but Atlanta's where your dreams can come true, folks. We could see a first-time winner again today, this weekend.
We could. And speaking of the racing today, we have, like you mentioned, the truck race is today. Atlanta, the truck race, 2:30 p.m. for the truck race, p.m. for Xfinity race. And in that truck race today, racing for David Gilliland Racing, is a man that has not been in a truck in, what, 13 years, since 2007? He was in a truck last. he raced 142 races in the Camping World Truck Series. Hasn't been in one since 2007. That would be 60-year-old Bill Lester making his return back to NASCAR today in that truck race. And he says, you know, we'll have to see how it is. He was saying in an interview that it's been a while since he's been in it. He just got done writing a book. So he's kind of, you know, exposing that a little bit and talking about that. But he said that he wants to get in the truck and he wants to see if he still has the racing in his heart and in his blood. And if he does, if he enjoys it today, he's not saying that he won't, you know, walk away again. But he said if there's no, you know, if there's no feelings there, it sounds like this will be his last race. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do in that. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys do this before. You know, Bill Lester's not the first. You know, we saw Mark Martin do this quite a bit, you know, when we thought he was retiring and everything. Jeff Gordon kind of made a comeback a little bit. So we've seen other drivers do this. So it'll be interesting to see what Lester can do today.
Remember, Greg Biffle was in a truck for Kyle Busch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once or twice. Anything could happen. I hope he has a great run. I really do. I remember when he ran the Dodge truck, you know, had the same colored truck as, you know, Casey Kane had colored cars. It was cool. I remember those days. So, no, it's going to be interesting. It's great to see him back. And you know what else is crazy? Talking about people getting in trucks and Xfinity cars. Oh, wait till you see Bristol's lineup, folks. There's a lot of weird ones going. That's a lot of weird stuff going to happen in that truck race. But also, you know what else is cool? Who got their first win in Atlanta is somebody that's retired.
Yep.
Do you know who it was?
Mr. Backflip.
Yes, it was. Yes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of 99, there you go. He did get his win, his first win at Atlanta. So that's cool, too. We seen the birth of the backflip. And, I miss Carl Edwards.
Yes.
I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no knock to other drivers, but, man, bring him back. Wherever you are, Carl Edwards, please get out of a cornfield and come back. We need you.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one driver we probably won't. I don't know. We like you said, we talked about Greg Biffle running some truck races last year, you know, and showing that he still has it. You know, everybody thought that he was going to come back to Cup and maybe take one of these empty seats that we were talking about, you know,
too.
part of crazy NASCAR talk last year, but no, nothing from Greg Biffle this year yet. Matt Kenseth's another one missed seeing on track in the Cup level. I miss seeing Kenseth out there.
He didn't do too well, though, the last time.
I know, but I miss seeing him out there. A lot of drivers that since I started watching NASCAR, and that was 2002, that have gone on and not racing anymore. So it's crazy for me. I can't imagine what it's been like for people that have watched the sport since the 80s. You know, I talk about, you know, we talk about missing the Kenseths and the Edwards and the Biffles and Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon, but there's people that have been watching it since the 80s, and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, Dale Sr. and Dale Waltrip and Dale Jarrett and all these guys, and, you know, so.
Okay, well, Dale Jarrett ran when we were watching, started watching, let's be honest.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe not as competitive. But he was.
Yeah.
But no, it's so we got a doubleheader today. And the crazy thing is who we have in the booth today. I never expected to see this happen, but okay. You know, I was first off, Daniel Suarez should be in that booth anytime he can. It was great. Okay. Daniel Suarez in the booth was great. For the, you know, the Xfinity race and stuff. I enjoyed it. Maybe not so much with Joey Logano because I can only take 10 minutes of Joey Logano before I get, you know, irritated. But, I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. His English has come a very long way, folks, and it's not a knock to him because Pete can attest to this. I've interviewed him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
In his journey through NASCAR. And every time you talk to him, it got better and it got better. And he's really proven he tries and he tries at everything he does. But no, that was cool. I liked seeing him finally in the booth. It was nice to see. He's got character. He can do it. He may not be as funny as, you know, Clint Bowyer, but nobody's going to be on that level. Sorry. Don't try, folks. You're not going to get on Clint Bowyer's level of the shit that comes out of his mouth is hysterical. But, this week we're going to see Ryan Blaney in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting.
Pulling double duty.
Yes, double duty. Ooh. He'll do trucks and Xfinity.
Crazy.
And I think somebody else is in the booth with him for Xfinity. I mean, Tyler Reddick is the other driver going to be in the booth, I think.
Is that who it's going to be? I know he did tweet something out, and it was funny. He was trying to mess with the fans, and, of course, Bob Prokhorov had to ruin all the fun like he does.
As always.
Yeah. But, yeah, Blaney tweeted out,
"Little Bob,
I'm pulling double duty this weekend at Atlanta on Saturday for Xfinity and Trucks. Be sure to tune in." And then, of course, Bob had to tweet, "Yeah, he's going to be in the booth." And Blaney's like, what the hell, man? Trying to mess with the fans a little bit. I'm trying to find Blaney's tweet here.
Well, it's still going to be interesting with Ryan Blaney in the booth. His humor is a different type of humor. Yes, right there it is. And it will be Tyler Reddick joining him. For the Xfinity race.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that'll be cool. So be sure to tune in today starting at 2:30 p.m. on FS1.
Yes.
It will be the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. followed by the NASCAR Xfinity Series at 5 p.m., all coming from Atlanta. Also, quickly, for the Xfinity race today, in case anybody is counting or wants to know, today will be the 150th career start in Xfinity for Landon Cassel.
Nice.
101 of those coming with JD Motorsports. So Landon Cassel will be starting his 150th Xfinity Series race. That's another name we don't talk about a lot. I don't think he's really been with a top-tier team to kind of show his potential, but another guy that you never really hear anything bad about, kind of is always the lighthearted. He's a goofy guy. I remember he was doing all kinds of different stuff on. He loves social media, loves interacting with the fans. That is Landon Cassel. Just an all-around great guy. Kind of would love to have seen him in some top-tier equipment just to see what he could do, because I think he's got the potential. He's a smart driver. He's got a lot of talent. I just don't think he ever got a chance to really showcase it and show it off. But, I mean, that's the way NASCAR works, unfortunately. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
He got the short end of the stick when it came to NASCAR in the Cup Series. But, I mean, I hope he does well today, too. A lot of drivers in Xfinity need a turnaround race, so, and we'll see what happens. A lot of guys need a turnaround race this weekend. Junior Motorsports, all of them need a good race.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I'll tell you who needs a good race is me and the NASCAR Pick'em Challenge League.
Have you seen me? Well, I already made my pick for Atlanta, folks.
You did.
Pete, my pick was in Sunday for Atlanta.
The Phoenix race wasn't even cooled down yet. I mean,
nope.
It was the checkered flag. That guy went in the race, and then I'm getting a text message on who she wants for Atlanta. And I'm like, You want to put your Atlanta pick in now? Are you sure? You got a week. Christina put her pick in already for Atlanta. But let's look at the standings. A lot of people kind of moving up and down a little bit. This has been a good year, though. I enjoy what the season has been so far because everybody's participating. Every now and then I'm catching some smack talk from different people. Going into the weekend, people making picks, it's everybody's, engaged. I'm loving it. It's been a good year so far. Starting from the top, we've got Tasha leading the points with 202 points. Then we've got Jeremy in second at 180, tied with Maddie Ice. Both of these guys with 180 points. They are 22 points back from first. Craig in fourth with 173 points, 29 back. Me and Ty are tied for fifth with 141 points, 61 back. We both have wins on the year. Ty getting his win this past week by picking Martin Truex Jr. to win at Phoenix. Christina, you're in seventh. You're right behind me. 127 points, 75 back. And then Debbie's in eighth, 124 points. John, intern John, little John, little juice box. He's in ninth with 116 points. Only a point ahead of Nick. Nick is in 10th. Nick jumps up quite a bit with getting that win at Phoenix. He also picked Martin Truex Jr. And then Matt Newsom is in 11th right now with 106 points. But Matt Newsom also has his pick in this weekend so far. So two picks in for the weekend so far for the Atlanta race, you and Matt Newsom. Nobody else has made a pick yet that I've seen. So we'll keep an eye on that. I put up a post on Facebook last night reminding everybody to get their picks in. The race is Atlanta tomorrow, 3 p.m. on Fox. So 3 p.m. is the deadline to have the picks in. That is the scheduled green flag. I said this before, Christina, you know this too, that even if there's a rain delay, even if 3 o'clock comes and it's raining and they're pushing it back to dry the track, it doesn't matter. 3 p.m. was the scheduled green flag. That is when all picks and changes have to be submitted. So you still have till 3 o'clock tomorrow, Christina, change your pick if you want. I'm just saying.
Nope. Okay.
Okay.
That's my pick, and I'm going to stick with it this week.
All right. I am writing down my pick now because I was battling on who I wanted to take for this race, and it was a toss-up between Edwards and Biffle. I wasn't sure. I've got my pick though now. So, Matt Newsom though, he is going with Chase Elliott. He got his pick in.
Oh,
yeah.
For the hometown kid.
Yeah, you know it. So, Matt Newsom going with Chase Elliott.
I hope
Elliott.
He hits the wall.
What? Christina.
I'm out for blood, man.
I hear that. Wow. Let's look at the lineup real quick. What do we got? Oh, we've got Chesterfield, Virginia native, and Joe Gibbs Racing driver of the number 11 and team owner of the 23 XI or whatever team that is a Toyota team as well. Denny Hamlin's on the pole. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Starting outside. Starting next to his teammate for Joe Gibbs.
Your favorite driver starts second, so yeah, there you go.
So we've got Joe Gibbs Racing. Okay, so is this a joke NASCAR is playing? Joe Gibbs Racing on the front row. Row two, Team
Penske. I think it's
Penske.
By points.
Row three, Team Hendrick.
That's the points lineup.
It almost looks like the playoff points lineup.
It does, but it's not them because it can't be after Christopher Bell because I am William Byron has a win, so he would be higher. And also with Michael McDowell, who has a win, who starts 18th. So it's a little bit of a weird mixture of a pot there because the top six in the starting lineup, I believe, is the top six in points, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Well,
but it's
going to be
interesting.
Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson. That's how the top five go in points. So why Truex, unless it's because Truex got the win last week? I have no idea how they did it. I think they just
pulled random shit out of a hat. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, so you got
Hamlin.
Can we bring
practice back?
Can we bring qualifying back?
Practice.
I don't understand.
Well, yeah,
why
I don't see why
qualify.
We can't.
Have the teams go out, make a lap, one lap. You get one lap. It's better than what they're doing now. So we got Hamlin, Truex, Logano, Keselowski at your top four. Elliott, Chase Elliott. Kyle Larson, 5 and 6. Kevin Harvick, 7th. Christopher Bell, 8th. William Byron, 9th. And Ryan Blaney, 10th. So that is your top
and
10
And I'll let you guys know
starters.
Right now. My pick is starting in the top 10.
Yes, he is. So is mine. I just pulled this up. The starting positions. I made my pick before I looked at this, but yes, mine is starting in the top 10 as well.
Oh, I definitely did too. So.
Yeah, I know. You made yours at the end of the race.
yes, I did. But it's going to be an interesting race. We'll see.
Yeah. So Matt Newsom is going with Chase Elliott. I'm taking Kevin Harvick. I'm going old school. I'm going to take Kevin Harvick. I'm gonna say that this is his breakout race. This is where SHR gets it together. This is where Kevin Harvick gets the win.
Week.
Well, it's going to be this week, babe. It's going to be this week. Kevin Harvick going to be top of that podium and getting a win.
I am taking a Ford. For the folks playing along at home, I'm taking a Ford.
You want to go ahead and tell everybody your pick?
Yes, 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 I can do that. Okay. So I'm going to take a driver I don't like. For those folks that know me, I don't like this driver. But I am going to take this driver. He also is going to, I believe his car is orange this weekend, which bodes well for me because I love the color orange. Little did I know that was going to be the paint scheme for this weekend when I picked last weekend. But now I'm going to pick Brad. I'm taking Brad Keselowski. He's ran very well throughout the year, and his record at Atlanta is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm taking the only I can't say that. The Penske driver I like is Ryan Blaney. The one I hate the least of the other two I'm going to pick this week. So.
Well, I have yet to pick my least favorite driver, so I don't know when I'll take him. I'm sure I'll pick him at some point. Probably take him for a road course coming up or something, since he seems to do so well on road courses. But I don't know. Martin Truex Jr. Chase Elliott. Oh, I ought to come through this radio. I'll tell you what. Here, since you said that, because now I have a nominee for the penalty box. Yeah, you can laugh. All right, for those first-time listeners or for those who don't pay attention, that is our penalty box sounder. This is Christina's favorite part of the show. And now I have a nominee for the penalty box in case she needs an idea. I don't think she can throw herself in there. So, this is the part of the show where Christina takes the knucklehead of the week from the sports world and throws them in timeout and throws them in the penalty box. Christina, who you got for the penalty box this week?
I'm going to take the watermelon man.
Uh-oh.
I don't think there's ever been a time where I've thought about throwing Ross Chastain in the penalty box, but I think I'm going to this week. You know, sports related, I just don't understand what he's doing. Like, is he trying to irritate Kyle Busch?
I mean,
your dogs say yes. The dogs say yes. He's trying to irritate Kyle Busch. But the dogs like the pick, so that's the win right there. But no, I'm just teasing. But I don't know what he's trying to do when it comes to messing with the 18. There wasn't once, but twice where I don't get it. I get being a hard driver. I get wanting to race hard and so forth. And, you know, he's wrecked his teammates last year trying to win a race, and that failed epically and everything like that. But come on. Come on, man. That's not good. Don't poke the sleeping bear that is Kyle Busch. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It ends bad.
So are you
it
saying
really
you
want
to switch your pick to Ross Chastain for this weekend?
No.
Atlanta? No.
No.
Oh, no.
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 No. No. No. No. No. No. Okay. No. That's never going to happen.
Okay.
No. I just would not. I wouldn't. Man, if you want to bump and hit somebody and wreck somebody, just don't do it. Don't do it to Kyle Busch.
Well,
it does not end badly. It doesn't end well.
Well, the reason that we're throwing him in a penalty box then is because he's an idiot. So,
yeah,
we'll just
pretty much.
I'll say it.
And,
yeah, he's an idiot.
You know, there was an honorable mention. There was somebody that was close to being thrown in the penalty box because I'm evil. I won't mention names.
Oh.
That was close. close.
No names.
But
no names, please.
But no. But another penalty box pick, just for real life, the shit I have to deal with every day, would be these spring breakers. I'm tired. Go home. Please. Go home.
Yeah.
This is why I'm glad I don't live in Miami. I live very close to Miami, but, oh, my God, it's like, it looks like a frat house party every day. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the mess
they
leave behind. Please clean up your trash.
No, they don't know how to do that. They haven't been taught that.
I know.
So, well, we are down to the final 90 seconds of the show. So, Christina, thank you for coming on this morning. I'm sorry that you weren't able to do it from the beach. I was really hoping you would be able to talk to us from the beach while you were sitting in the sand with your umbrella Starbucks drink. But maybe next week you can give us updates from the beach. But no, I hope you have a great weekend, you and Jim. Tell him we said hi. Is he shooting again today? Is he at the range?
No. No, not today. Nope, he's
That's
here.
Okay.
Yeah, he's here. He's actually, you know, he's not that far from me. He actually listens in every once in a while. So, nope, he's here. Listening and, you know, everything like that. No gun range today. He's not shooting today. Maybe next weekend. We'll see. But if we're at the beach, he'll be there at the beach too. So we'll see.
All right. Well, you guys have a great rest of your weekend. I'm sure I'll be texting you here soon about the racing and especially tomorrow during the race. So have a great weekend.
For folks that don't know, I'm Pete's lifeline when it comes to NASCAR while he's at work. But no, we will. You guys have a great weekend. Everyone enjoy the racing. There's a lot of it to be had, whether you want to watch NASCAR, you want to go to a dirt race. Hell, do both. Okay.
Yeah.
Watch the truck race and then go to the dirt race that start. You know, most of them are starting at 4. Port Royal starting a little later. They got a huge late model race today. Go out and watch some late models. Tear it up. Okay. Let me know how it was. But no, thank you guys. Have a great weekend and I'll talk to y'all soon.
All righty. We will talk to you definitely next Saturday morning. So have a great weekend.
Right. Thank y'all. Peace out.
All right, everybody, that, of course, was my co-host, Christina. This is the end of the show. We have done it, another weekend show in the books. Hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Whatever time or day you are listening to this show, I hope it finds you doing well and having a great day. Be sure to tune in next Saturday, 9 a.m. We'll be right back here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Coming to you live from the 357 Woodworks Studios. And we'll be bringing you more World of Outlaw and dirt racing updates, plus NASCAR and everything else. So thank you for tuning in today. We will definitely talk to you next Saturday morning. Have a great rest of your weekend. For Matt and John, for Christina, of course, I'm your host, Pete. Until we talk next time, see ya!